Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews, chapter number 12, a familiar portion of Scripture. But I am enjoying getting emails and questions from people about Bible verses and scriptures, especially when teenagers do it. So continue. Please continue. If you have questions that you'd like to have answers regarding the scriptures, please give me a text or an email or even a call. We look forward to being with you face to face soon. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll read along with me in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you feel stuck? Stuck. You know what I'm talking about. Axle deep in the mud of life and you can't move. Or it feels like your life's not moving forward. That one day just goes to the next. Have you lost track of what day it is sometimes? Has that happened to you for just a brief second? Because every day looks the same as you look out your front window? I understand. I know what it means to be stuck, to feel stuck. During this COVID crisis, many people are feeling stuck. So let me ask you a question. Do you know what that means? Do you know how that feels? Haven't felt like showering lately? Haven't worn real shoes in a month? Too afraid to try on those regular pair of pants because you've been wearing the relaxed fit now for 6 weeks? The bathroom scale has been banished to the lower parts of the linen closet, not to be seen or heard from for a very long time? Do you feel that everything in your life is just on hold? Now, I'm not talking, you can say, well, you mean like, preacher, like being in a rut? My preacher always said that a rut was a grave with both ends dug out. That's all a rut is. But I mean stuck. Like you're on hold waiting for your life to move forward. You're stuck. Is it going to be tomorrow? Things are going to break loose. Is it tomorrow you'll have that breakthrough? Is it today? Or is it next week? Or is it next month? COVID got you stuck. You feel like things are on pause in your family, pause in your career, your education, maybe childcare. Your long-term goals are kind of got a pin in it until things move forward. What has you stuck? Is it a virus that has you stuck? Is it the weather? Is it the fact that you don't get outside? What is it that you think has you stuck in a place where you can't go forward? Let me ask you, how does it feel? How's your diet working? If you don't understand what stuck means, let me ask you, how's your diet working? Huh? During this COVID crisis, your office is just a little too close to the snacks for any kind of movement in the right direction. Have you signed up for your fourth streaming service because there's just nothing to watch anymore on the big three? Tired of waiting for the next season of whatever it is you watch to come out? I understand the county is shut down. The courts are shut down. All the PCSs are basically postponed. School's not sure if they're going to open. What are you going to do to get unstuck? Are you out walking? Are you out jogging? Are you working out? What are you going to do that gets you unstuck? You know, in basketball, when we used to play, whenever the opposing team would get too many repeated scores in a row, and we weren't answering back with a bucket here or there, my coach would call a timeout. Because the opposite team had a momentum going that was crushing us. If you feel stuck right now, God wants you to call time out. The devil has got a momentum going in your life, and it's going in the wrong direction. It's time for a time out. We Christians need to be moving forward. And we need to be moving forward on firm footing. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, because of what's come before, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We've been studying the book of Revelation in Johnny's class on Sunday morning. It's exciting to think that all of those in heaven do not look down upon us with condemnation. They look down upon us and try to encourage us to move forward. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, it says every weight and the sin. The weights in your life that are holding you stuck, they're not necessarily sins. Oh, there's sins in our life, but they're not necessarily sins. There's weights and sins. A weight is anything that keeps you from moving forward for Christ. Anything that is holding you back. Anything that you're allowing, let me put it that way, to hold you back. Let us lay aside every weight. Like I said, it's not necessarily sin. It could be something as simple as a good hobby or a good entertaining thing, but it's keeping you from moving forward. And things aren't necessarily bad. Maybe for you, things aren't necessarily bad. You know what I'm talking about. You're not really under a cloud. It's just not moving. Now, there's some folks I talked to this week and last week. They're dead sure. They've got a problem in their life. And they're stuck because of the actions of someone else. And the actions they've taken in response. And they're stuck. And they're asking the same question. How do I get unstuck? How do I get moving? Well, look what it says here. Let us lay aside the weight. We need to figure out what those are. And the sins. You don't have to go too far to figure that out. You know what I'm talking about. Which doth so easily beset us. I want you to think of having a metal hasp around your ankle. Now, we've all used ankle weights before when we've jogged, when we've worked out. I've got friends in CrossFit that carry those weighted vests, and they'll put steel plates in them, 40, 50 pounds. I saw several Marines walking around here because they'll put that entire 90-pound pack on their back, and they'll be out walking. And you can tell it's heavy. But when it says a besetting sin or a besetting weight, I want you to think of a metal shackle on your ankle with like an 18-inch or a 2-foot chain to a lead weight, a lead ball. It's not that you can't move, but it's difficult. You might be able to move a little ways. You might be able to move for some time, but you'll fatigue quickly. And you're stuck. I think it's time you and I got unstuck. So it says, looking unto Jesus, we have got to get our eyes on Jesus. Now, there are things that we get our eyes onto that stick us, that hold us, that'll bind us up, that will beset us in such a way that we stop moving forward. Number one, we've got to get our eyes off the past. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 18. You got to get your eyes off the past. Stop looking at the woulda, coulda, shouldas. See, the past is a great thing to play, a great place to be from. We joined a group on Facebook called the Angry Illinoisan. It's about all the people who are like, man, we need to get out of here. You know, Illinois is a great place to be from. You know, your past is a great place to be from. It's as good as any. Stop wishing for a better past. Get your eyes on Jesus and let that weight go, because your past is in the grave of time. There's nothing you can do about it. The future is in the womb of time. You have today to start moving forward. Look at Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. That's the woulda, coulda, shouldas that hound you and have you stuck. Behold, I will do a new thing. God wants to do something in your life you've not experienced before. Now it shall spring forth. Not just creep forth, but it'll come forth and it'll blossom in a way you can't imagine. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do you always seem to default to the same sins? You know what I'm talking about. Or the same weights. We're to lay aside the weight and forget your past sins. The Bible says in John 8:34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. We've got to forget our past failures. You can't do anything about them. You can own up to them. You can ask for forgiveness, and then you're done. Fixing them is done. Forget your past failures. Forget the time you wasted in sin as a slave to sin. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 6. Romans 6. Now, this might just be your description of earlier today. In Romans 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Maybe you feel stuck today because you've got a sin in your life that you just kind of is your default setting. Don't let it have authority in your life. Look at this. Let it not reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. See, you have a choice. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but in the same manner as we give in to sin, we are in turn supposed to surrender to the Spirit and righteousness. That sin that's holding you back. You want to get unstuck? You need to confess it. You need to repent and turn from it. And then you need to forsake it. Do you know what forsake means? Forsake means you leave it back there and consider it filth. I told you the story once, I'll tell you again. I used to carry a watch that had a calculator on it. Way back before the iWatches, they had all these buttons on there, and you could, it was like it had a calculator. Man, it was so cool. Well, I went to the county fair, and at the county fair, there really is no indoor plumbing. So I was using one of those porta, you know, and anyway, when I got done in the porta, you know, I got out, and my watch was gone. And I went back in there, and I looked around, and it was where it wasn't supposed to be. Do you know I didn't go back in there after it? Mm-mm. No. No. I turned and walked away. That's what forsaking means. Look what it says here in Romans 6. Just as you yielded your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, turn and do the opposite thing. Yield yourself unto righteousness. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you unless you let it. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. God can and will empower you if you will ask. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Ask yourself, that thing that keeps coming back, have you really forsaken it? Have you not only turned from it and confessed it, and turning is repenting, but then saying, that's filth. I'm not going back into that mess to dig it back out again. Are you tired of being stuck? You tired of having your life on hold? You tired of the hounding voice of the woulda, coulda, shouldas in your life? Lay it aside. Today, a new day starts right now. So forget your past. Forget your past sins and your past failures. Forget the time you wasted in slavery to sin. And lay aside the weight of the mistakes you've made since you've been saved. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, all thing means the good stuff and the bad stuff. I know what you're thinking. Well, you know, all that, I got some things that have kind of clung to me since before I knew Jesus. But you know what really kills me is since I know Jesus, since I have the Holy Spirit in my heart and I'm supposed to be free, I've been doing this, that, and the other. Anger, bitterness, wrath, malice, and all the other popular sins. You need to forgive yourself and you need to let that go. You need to turn from the sin that you've committed since you were saved. All things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Do you love Him enough to trust Him to take the mess and turn it into something masterful? Look at this again. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That means He planned in advance to be conformed to the image of His Son. God wants to use the tough spots and the rough spots and the stuck spots in your life to mold you and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. Look what it says here. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? I haven't got time to go into verse 30 and all the eternal ramifications of how you have been freed. But verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What is it that's got you stuck? Let me tell you something. Based on Romans 8:31, nothing can hold you down unless you let it. Let's lay it aside. Look unto Jesus and lay aside those weights and the sin that so easily beset us. Confess, repent, forsake. You know what's great about your past? You can let God use your past mistakes and failures and sins and weights. You can let God use those to give you compassion for other people who are in the same kind of failings. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at this now, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible reads, finally, be ye of all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. How does that help anything? Or railing for railing. That's those snarky comments that well up in you that you want to tell yourself, that you want to tell others. But contrarywise, blessing. Be a blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. God has put you there. People say, well, why don't God do something about this or that? He did. He made you. That you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Let your past give you compassion for those who are stuck like you've been. And press on. Press on. Paul said, I pressed toward the mark. That means he put effort and just pressed on. One of the things to do when you're stuck, forget the past, put your eyes on Jesus, and press on. Number two, you've got to get unstuck, you got to forgive all of the persecution you have faced. You got to do it by faith. You're not going to do it by feelings. You're not going to let go of the things people have done to you or are doing to you now, except by faith. Your flesh will never jump in line for that. Your flesh will never get on board and go, oh, that's a good idea. No, your flesh is going to fight you, and you got to, by faith, say, I'm letting it go. I'm laying aside the weight of my own past failure. Yes, you failed. I have failed. Lay it aside. Stop wishing. You know, Samson, even as foolish as he was, you know, they gouged out his eyes with hot pokers and they put him in the place of a cow grinding at the mill where he'd walk in circles all day mindlessly like a dumb animal. But his hair began to grow. When he realized his mistake, when he confessed and repented and turned back to the Lord, God was able to use him once again. You got to forgive every persecution. You need to forgive and lay aside the weight of the faults of people today. Many of you are dealing with things that weren't your creation necessarily. It was the actions or the inaction of someone else. It was somebody else's selfishness, maybe combined with your own a little, but definitely their selfishness that has caused this situation, and you feel stuck, trapped, not going anywhere. You're going to have to forgive them. You got to lay aside the weight and forgive them. In Matthew 18, 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know, Jesus walked through trials. That's what 1 Peter 2:21 said. He walked through struggles, and he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. You can get unstuck by forgiving not only yourself, but forgiving those around you that have wronged you. And number two, you can fortify your faith by getting into the Word again. I understand this Bible does not yell at you. It does not call to you like your games or Netflix or some other hobby or activity. I understand. But this is the most important thing that'll get you unstuck. Is time in God's Word. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're a little lacking on faith to forgive, little lacking on faith to let go of some sin and move forward. You'll do it by faith. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your mind and press on. Look to Jesus and press on. In Romans chapter number 12, I preached on this last week, on right thinking. If you haven't had a chance to watch that video, you need to. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Lay aside the weight, look unto Jesus, and press on. Do not render evil for evil. Press on. Number three, you get unstuck because your faith is in the promises of God. That's how you get unstuck. What is it you focus on? What is it you're clinging to? What is it right now that you find yourself trying to ground yourself on to get yourself traction? I've been stuck in the mud. I've been axle deep in this old earth. I really have. And cars and trucks and tractors and all kinds of implements and fun, foolish things. I once got a forklift stuck all the way up to its frame. And no matter what you... And what do we try to do? We try to dig it out, but digging it out don't work. You got to put something under there. The wheels will get the traction and pull itself out of the rut. What is it you're trying to grip to? What is it you're clinging to? What is it that you're trying to put traction on to get yourself unstuck? Is it the latest self-help book? Is it being part of a mommy forum or a forum for your... What is it? You got a new podcast? That what is it you're putting your traction into? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to put your faith in God's promises. They are the only sure foundation we have. Look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We get unstuck by focusing on the binding promises of God. God who is in it. God who is all powerful. God who can do anything has limited himself in a series of promises and bound himself and said, if you'll do this, then I will do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, chapter 4 and verse 17 says, for our light affliction. Maybe what you feel like, the weight you're under right now, it doesn't feel very light, but God calls it light. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it hasn't been your entire life, it's not going to be your entire life, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is going to use it for something great if you'll let him. while we look not on the things that are seen. I don't know about you, but you know, in this COVID thing, it's been tough. I've been like keeping up with the dishes and helping the kids stay fired up about vacuuming and all and laundry and things that nobody really likes to do. Why? Because we sit in it and we look at it and it looks so overwhelming and we just don't want to get up and do it. You know, there's a lot of things like that in our life. And right now you probably feel stuck. And it's not just one thing. It's a combination of things. And it just, you just want to sit. Spiritually, you're sitting. You think to yourself, the pain of getting up and getting after it isn't worth the blessing. And I'm here to tell you, you got your mind wrong. You need to switch your thinking. You need to start focusing on the eternal weight of glory God wants to do in your life. And you need to understand that whatever momentary pain you got right now, the pain of not having that exceeding weight of glory outweighs any of the pain you're sitting in right now. What are you focusing on? What are you trying to get your traction on to get out of that rut, out of that stuck? Focus on the promise of God, the binding promises of God. Also, you need to focus on communing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now that you have this little extra time in your life, you say, what time? My kids are home. You know what? There's some time when they're asleep. There's some time in the morning when nobody else is up. And instead of just reading your Bible, how about you pray and ask the Lord questions while you read the Bible? Why don't you pray in the Spirit and commune with the Holy Spirit when you pray? His presence is empowering. His presence is uplifting. His presence is energizing. You sit on that couch and you think to yourself, I just can't. I get in your word. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Put your focus on the promise and the eternal weight of glory God is offering you and I. You will get unstuck by focusing on the grand and beautiful prizes God has for us. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I know it kind of sounds like a game show, but the truth is God has a prize for you and I. In 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Are you fighting a good fight right now, or are you giving in to it? I've finished my course. Is it neutral? You tired of just spinning? I've kept the faith. There's where your Bible, your communing in the Holy Spirit, your focus on Jesus comes in. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. A crown. Something you will have for eternity. See, we're letting the temporary, we're letting the temporal, the earthly, bring us down and our eyes off that which is eternal. You feeling stuck? This is how you get unstuck. Put your eyes on Jesus and press on. In Romans 8:18, the Bible says, for I reckon. That means I have done the math. I have done the accounting. I've laid out the spreadsheet and did the math. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. There is no comparison, worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You need to stop focusing on the pain of getting started and look at the pain of not having ever got out of it and got out of being stuck. You need to stop looking at the effort it'll take to get started again and look at the eternal weight of glory that is waiting for us if we'll just get moving in our walk with the Lord. You want to get unstuck? You got to look to Jesus. You got to lay aside the weights and the sin. You got to forget the past. You've got to let that go. You got to forgive those around you. And you've got to get your eyes on Christ and the beautiful weight of and glorious things God has for us. Then you got to find your place in His service. In Romans chapter 12 last week, we talked about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. We talked about renewing our mind. But then it said in verse number 3 that we have a place of service in God's economy. He has planned in advance for you and I to do a service for Him that He has planned for no one else but you. Now, what you can do for the Lord in your eyes may seem small. And I've talked to you about the comparison game, saying, well, if I could only sing like so-and-so, or if I could only teach like so-and-so, or if I was only this or that like so-and-so. Don't play that comparison game. They can't do what you can do. On the authority of Scripture, I am telling you, they cannot do for God what you were designed to do. Maybe they think, oh, if I could only like that person. You want to be unstuck? You need to find your place of service. Even if things seem small, you need to understand in the Lord's employment that you are in a sacred place. When you are serving God according to your gifts and talents, you are in a sacred place doing something only you can do. From last week's message, if you remember out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, we have an important role. And our roles are different. Our gifts and talents are different. And we need to be busy using our gifts and talents. God didn't call you to be like me. God didn't call you to be like this person or that person. God called you to be you. God didn't call talent. He called personalities. He called you into the ministry. You want to be unstuck? Get your eyes back on Jesus. You want to be unstuck? Lay aside the weights and the sins that are holding you back, that are shackled to your ankles and keeping you stuck in that place, and press on. Press forward in your walk with God. Read your Bible every day and commune with the Holy Spirit. Expect His presence. Focus and get traction on His promises. And then live His precepts. I'm going to deal with this in a greater way next week. But you need to live God's precepts. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. You need to live it. James chapter 2. What is it that sets the precedence in your life? What is it? Whatever has been going on has got you stuck. So maybe it's time we had a change where we put our faith and trust in something beyond what we're seeing in front of us. And let's make our choices not based on our checkbook or on our calendar or on our entertainment queue, what we've watched and what's yet to watch. And let's base it on God's precepts. Look at James 2, verse 17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If you're truly a Christian, then there's something in you that says, I need to. And then you fill in the blank because you filled in that blank multiple times. I don't have to tell you what it is. You already know. And that's because you're a born-again believer who it's in you to do. You don't do it to earn being a Christian. No, you're already a Christian. So thus, it's in you to do. And if it's not in you to do, there's a problem. Well, how do I know if it's in me to do? You feel guilty because you don't. Or you feel guilty because you did this instead of that. That's how you know. And it says here in James 2 and verse, he says, I'll show thee my faith by my works. Verse 24, ye see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, inward faith should bear outward fruit. Brother Jim Bowling said something that has stuck with me all these years. He said, God is too big to move in without having to rearrange things. So you need to receive the Word. We have the Word of God and it is available to us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men. And sometimes I wonder about that. Do you realize that I didn't write this? A bunch of old cronies didn't write this? Church leaders who want to keep you suppressed didn't write this. God did. So what's written in it is not man's words. It's God's words. And it's what will unstick you from your present condition. It's what will free you. It's what will give you traction. It's what will move you forward. And I'm telling you, on the authority of Scripture, you won't without it. So until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you will sit. And you will be stuck. Because your eyes aren't on Jesus. You're not renewing your mind. You're not communing in the Spirit. You're letting your eyes look on what's on around you or what's not going on around you. And you're allowing it to defeat you. You need to press on. You need to press on. We have the Word of God. We need to receive it into our heart, but then we need to live it. Look at James 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. Listen, I feel led to tell you that there's things you shouldn't be watching. There's things that are going in your eyes and ears that are messing you up, and you need to lay those things aside. You've lived this long without them, you'll be fine. Trust me. Look what it says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, things you know that aren't right. That's what makes them interesting. It's not the fact that it's so great to look at that. It's so great, it's the fact that it's not, and you know it. And it tickles your little childish, selfish, sinful nature. That's what it does. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. I run into people all the time that tell me, well, you know, I used to go to church. We used to go when Daddy took us. And when I moved out, I quit. You know, we used to, or Mama always took us. You know, we'd go when Mama took us. Or I'd go to church when I went home to see Mama. You've heard it, but you're not doing it. And you're wondering why your life is stuck. God is honor bound by His promises to lift you up and to set your feet on a rock and to establish your goings, the Bible says. That means get you moving in the right direction. He's bound Himself to that promise. But He won't until you do. And if you don't do, He won't. And there you sit, stuck. It's time for a change. It's time for us to press on, to get our traction on God's promises and press on. You also get unstuck by focusing on the future. You know, this world just isn't worth it. The things of this world just aren't worth it. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, you're just a few pages away. Look what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And that hope is not in this world. Lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. That means it's not here. Undefiled. That's dead sure not here. Look at it. And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What are you focusing on? Where are your eyesight? What are you looking at? You got to look at the future blessing God has for us. You know, there's coming a time in Revelation 21 that talks about the fact that when the love of God is fully realized, we will be in His presence. Look at that. Revelation 21. There will be a time like no other. In Revelation 21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with us, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now listen to this. When God's love is fully realized, look at this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Verse 7 says, he that overcometh. Overcometh what? Overcometh the temptation to fulfill the flesh rather than the Spirit. To live for today's world and our fleshly lusts. That's the temptation. If we overcome it, how do we overcome that? By the power of the resurrection, the blood of the Lamb, the Word of God, and the abiding presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. That's why you're stuck. That's why I get stuck. I get my eyes off Jesus. I don't look at his word. I don't commune in the Spirit. I'm not focusing on his promises or on the future glory. When the world around us allures, tempts, or even beats us down, that's when we get stuck. God wants to lift you out. There's a phrase in the Bible that says he lifted me out of a horrible pit. Are you in a pit right now? Are you in a pit? Whether it's a pit of your own making or it's a pit that somebody else threw you in, the only way out's Jesus. The only way out's through his word and by faith, trusting his promises, communing in his Spirit, focusing on him and the future. And God will lift you out. So are you stuck? Press on. Are you feeling weighted down? Offload and press on. Are you feeling like there's just no end to the rut you're in? The sun's not shining. And your life is not moving. That qualifies as a pit. God will lift you out. God will do it because he bound himself to the promise that if you'd renew your mind, if you'd commune in his Spirit, if you'd forget the past, lay those weights aside, offload the sin, you know what I'm talking about, the ones that keep coming back. Every day you go to God for grace, God will lift you out and you'll get traction again because his promises are sure. And you will press on to glory. All of it starts when you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? Have you called upon him? If you ask him to forgive you because you believe he died in your place and paid the penalty for your sin, have you asked him to save you? It's as simple as that. Christian, you're saved, but you're in a rut. You're in a pit. And the harder you slog away trying to climb by yourself, the deeper you sink. Then it's time to turn to the Lord, his word, his promises, his future. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. There is a beautiful day coming when Jesus will split the sky and he will take us out. And we will live in the realms of light and eternal glory. Until that day, we look for it, God. We hope for it. We expect it. But until that day, Father, we hold fast to your word and the promises thereof. We claim them as true. We live them, for there's just no other way. There's just no other way. We ask, God, for those that are in the pit today, that are stuck, God, you'd lift them out. Whether it's a health crisis or finances, or whether it's they need direction, they need an answer to what they should do next. Father, let them turn to your word. Let them turn to your promises. Let them find their lift, their love, their raising out in you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. I love you.